Welcome to Fold in the Cheese, the recipe for fantasy football success. We are your hosts, two average dudes, watched a lot of football, played a lot of fantasy football, and our wives told us to get real jobs.
And we said pass. We would much rather talk about football instead, so here we are. This is a podcast for those who are just starting in the fantasy football. We want to bring some knowledge to help you get started. We'll be here along with you on the whole journey throughout the season, checking in with players and seeing who we should sit, who we should start, all that fun stuff. And for those who are a little more advanced, don't worry, we got some stuff for you too.
Yeah, so if you're a casual fantasy player and you're tired of not winning, we're going to change that for you. If you never played before and you feel like, hey, I think I'd like to play this and I think I'd like to win my first time through, we're here for you too. Let's make this happen. Get some W's.
Let's get it.
Welcome to Folding the Cheese. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's your boy Kemp on the mic today. I got my main man, co-host, as always, the Coach Beard to my Ted Lasso. Hey, what's going on, brother?
How are you today, Kemp?
Did you get back together with Jane or what?
No, we've been a little off and on. But we're back. She called me 100 times, so I figured I should pick those up. Getting a little nervous.
I understand. Well, we got half the Diamond Dogs here. We're excited for a good episode. I have something I got to say about Ted Lasso. What a great show! First off, indeed. Thank you for turning me on to that show because you were bugging me about that for like a year.
You're welcome, sir.
Finally got a an Apple TV subscription with one of our cell phone plans or something. So
yeah, let's be honest, we're not paying for Apple TV. You just got to get those free trials. We got the year last year, so you got the year this year. It's money.
We got the year. So we're checking it out. Absolutely love it. It's so different than the other show you've seen because you've got this protagonist who's like lovable and there's not really a whole lot of edge there, but he's still very funny. It's like a wholesome humor. But then you've also got like all these British people who are just dropping F-bombs left and right.
Oi! Drillers. Oi! Roy!
Fluffer Nutter.
Can't. Sorry, let's bleep that out. I will say, I've got this like, and my wife will tell you, this is kind of like a weird quirk I have. Like when we watch movies or something and there's a bit character, like the police officer shows up and he's got some, you know, fake accent. And you're like, why did you do that? Like the character was not substantial. No one knows your backstory. We don't know where you're from. You don't need to have an accent. Yeah. So I was worried about that with Ted having this like Southern Midwestern accent.
Like, he's from Kansas City. He always talking about that barbecue sauce.
No, I know where he's from. I'm from the Midwest. I don't have that kind of an accent.
You have nothing.
People in the Midwest have nothing. Yeah. And so it was a little weird to hear him have a bit of a Southern. It's more like a country Midwestern accent. Yeah. I was a little worried I was not going to like that. Jason Sudeikis is so money that, I mean, I guess it just takes the right kind of actor to pull that off. He does a phenomenal job.
Oh, he's a treasure. But, okay, going on accents, here's what I don't understand. American actors cannot do British accents, or any accent for that matter, at all. But, however, any British or someone from, like, Australia, they can nail American accents so well. It is so infuriating and I don't get it. There'll be so many times I'll be watching a movie or a show and you think this dude's an American, da, 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 and then you hear an interview with him like just on Entertainment Tonight or whatever, like, whoa, that dude's British? What
all
the
time
hell?
All the time. Remember Andrew Lincoln is a great example. Yeah, Rick Grimes,
Walking Dead.
He's like, I was like, hey, it's a good old tough, gritty American man. And I see him, and he's like, he's in Love Actually. He's like totally British. You're like, what? Hang on a second.
Oh yeah.
He's like, really enjoyed playing Rick Grimes. He's a great character. Really got to it and got to dig deep in that one. I'm like,
that's
what?
It. He would not survive this zombie apocalypse. But wasn't he the guy holding up the cue cards for Keira Knightley?
Yeah. He was the awkward best friend who like had a crush on Keira Knightley.
Yeah. But
great move.
Who knew he could kill some zombies?
It's a great move. Turns out they actually recreated some of that in Ted Lasso, tying this whole thing together.
They did. That is a great point. And when it was Roy's niece when she had the terrible breath.
Yep. She had the bad breath and she had a bully. Yep.
Hey, let me smell your breath. I've smelled everything that's terrible. And then she breathes on him. Oh, dear God.
We got to find a dentist
right now. Wasn't it like Christmas Eve too?
It was Christmas Eve. I think he was like over in his neighborhood and he's like, if we don't find a dentist in 10 doors that we knock on, I'll give you $50. £50. I don't know, something like that. See, yeah, we're terrible at this.
I wouldn't say dollars.
No. See what we mean? We're terrible at these accents in comparison.
Maybe I can edit it to make it sound better. Probably not though.
Get one of those like voice modulator things and just put Roy Kent's voice in there for all the stuff I just said.
Perfect.
Boom. Got it. All right. In other news in football in America, American football. Another annoying weekend in fantasy for both of us. I'm sure you'll catch that tone a little bit later here. But a lot of good stories to cover here. We've got some of the top stories from the weekend, some injuries that are a little devastating. Got a couple of listener questions today we're excited about. Of course,
we got a couple today.
Blowing up, son. Of course, we've got the cheese segment. We'll be talking about players that we're not sure if we're folding, spreading, or cutting that cheese. Players to look for in the waiver wire. And then we'll get to a recap of our weekly Yahoo League matchup.
Only if we have time.
Rivalry week.
We got a lot to cover, Cam. I don't know if we have time.
You know what? I can skip through this pretty fast. Let's jump into around the league. Some notes from the week. We had some injuries of note that we want to get to here. Obviously, the big one, Christian McCaffrey, goes down with a hamstring tweak during that Thursday night game. Immediately ruled out of the game. That's not a good sign. The notes out of the Panthers are they don't want to put him on injured reserve. So injured reserve is a 3-week designation this year. If you're on IR, you cannot come back sooner than 3 weeks. So they don't want to put him on IR. So it looks like they're thinking he could potentially be back in 2 weeks. Doesn't mean he will be back before 3 weeks, but they don't want to rule him out for those 3 weeks.
And so even if he,
maybe two.
And even if it does come back in those 2-3 weeks, who knows about his workload yet. But, you know, we still haven't gotten official full news on him yet. But right now, it's definitely a minimum of 2-3 weeks.
And the hamstring is an injury that is often recurring in these players. And it's what the injury analysts in the sports world will call soft tissue injuries. Those injuries, you know, they can bother somebody all season long. You can come back and be fine, tweak it again. You could come back and it's still tight. A lot of stretching, cramping, that sort of stuff. So definitely something to watch even when he comes back.
I was going to say, especially with those such explosive players, like they make so many quick, you know, twitch movements that it can just like that. So you hate to hear it, but it happens.
You do hate to see it from a guy like that. He's a game changer, obviously. Speaking of hamstrings, AJ Brown came out early in the first quarter of the Titans game.
He did. He didn't even.
I told you I was going to. Told you I was going to send Vrabel a note, and what do you know?
No,
AJ sits down.
What makes me even worse is that you were there. You were literally at the game, and I think you sniped AJ Brown. So thanks for that.
I did. I shot him with a harpoon right in his hamstring.
Not a trident.
Hopefully, it's just a week or two. But I do have a feeling he's probably going to sit next week. We'll see. Keep an eye on the injury reports there. Juju left the Steelers game. They were already down Deontay Johnson in the receiving corps. Juju has a rib injury, goes out for the rest of the game. Had a pretty weird impact on that game. You end up getting 19 targets for Najee Harris out of the backfield, which was ridiculous. And then Chase Claypool had the other 12 or something. I mean, they're a dumpster fire right now.
Yeah, Steelers but, are hope Juju looking comes rough. Back.
Had a couple injuries on the Giants receiving corps as well. So you had Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton both going down with hamstring injuries there. They were throwing to Ted Lasso at some point in the game. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Well, which was super because in my neighborhood league, I picked up Sterling Shepard because you and I are having great conversations about this guy. He was looking good in the first couple of weeks. I was like, okay, you know, I had an injury. I forget who went down, but picked up Sterling, got hurt. Par for the course.
Yeah. And this is one of those things where it doesn't matter what amount of analysis you do. Injuries are part of the game and it's going to get you. I mean, AJ Brown is an incredible player and he's a first 3-round pick for a reason. He's super talented. He hasn't played great yet this year. They haven't really unleashed him yet. But I think over time, you know, that stuff usually when talent wins out, injury is just something you can't predict. True. So tough to say. And then and tough to watch as well. James White also got carted off with a hip injury. I've heard it sounds similar to what happened to Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, and Fitzpatrick's like a 6 to 8 week injury. Could be tougher on a running back who's got to use his legs more. So you never like to see that. He was putting together a nice season.
And James White has been in a Patriot uniform for about 30 years, so those hips, better watch out.
He's probably going to need a walker next time he gets out there. But you know what? Belichick will put him out there.
He will. If he can get him a couple yards, he'll put him in.
We had a couple of great showdowns as well. Great matchups. We were highly anticipated matchups, and I think they delivered. You know, the Rams and the Bucks game we talked a lot about last week. Really good game. Rams, they're looking good.
They are looking good. But I'll tell you what was the biggest highlight in this game was the running games. Holy moly. Talk about some running backs on display.
111 total rushing yards.
Between the two teams. Not as between one teams. Team. Between the two. Good thing I put in Leonard Fournette for an injured Dalvin Cook. That was great. They basically did the same thing, and Dalvin Cook didn't even play.
That's true. There you go. You and I had as many yards, pretty much. 3 yards a carry, not so hot. Brady threw the ball 55 times. I mean, hey,
can I jump in real quick? You just said a great line. Like, you and I had as many carries as, or as many yards as the offense on the Bucks or the Rams. So I was at Wake during our time at Wake Forest. Coach Prosser said had some of the best one-liners in his like halftime speeches or post-game speeches. And so we were in the halftime. We were playing like Georgia Tech or something, and we weren't doing very well. And he's going down the stat sheet, and he goes, I'm not going to call out anybody because actually some of the players might be listening to this. He's like, John Smith, you and I had the same amount of rebounds, zero, and my ass wasn't even on the damn court. So you just saying that just made the great times from Skip Prosser.
R.I.P. Skip. What a legend. Miss that guy on the court. All right. Brady threw the ball 55 times, 432 yards, one touchdown, ran for a touchdown, as he sometimes does. And I'll tell you what, it's a little weird. He actually had like 15 rushing yards or something. I mean, I've seen him take off a couple of times this year for like 6 and 7 yard gains. I don't think he's literally ever done that since college.
Hey, you've seen that clip of him in the combine. He's got some jets.
He's got some jets. What's weird is he actually did used to run a decent amount in college at Michigan. I mean, I've seen some old highlight films, and I didn't remember watching him so closely to remember if he was a runner in college. But I do, when I look back at the old film, like he could get out in the open and get some yardage for you. But I haven't seen that in about 20 years. Stafford continues to absolutely roll. This guy's got to be an MVP front runner. 343 yards, four touchdowns. They, again, well-oiled machine. They look incredible right now. Cooper Kupp is continuing to absolutely dominate. 12 targets, 9 receptions, 92 yards, 2 touchdowns. The guy's unstoppable. He and Stafford have got a ridiculous connection right now.
They do. They have meshed.
He is number one receiver in the entire league right now, for sure. I thought this was interesting. Gio Bernard showed up in this game. So he had 10 targets, 9 catches, 51 yards, and a touchdown. This is sort of what we thought may happen when he got signed by the Bucks. We're kind of like, oh, that's like the James White role, you know? And we hadn't really seen it yet. We hadn't done much at all in the season. I don't know if that's just playing from behind. They bring him in. He's a great pass catcher.
It could
We'd love to see more of that.
It's just because their backfield is so crowded with Fournette and Jones and now Gio. So, I mean, he's definitely the pass catching back. I know Fournette has kind of stepped up his game in the past couple of years in catching balls. But, yeah, when they signed him, you knew that was going to be coming eventually. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that can stay consistent.
Well, Ronald Jones is hanging up curtains in Bruce Arians' doghouse right now. He is not getting out of the doghouse. So, I mean, it could be the Fournette and Gio show going forward, honestly. Right. And then there was a DeSean Jackson sighting. This happens, once a year, twice a year.
And this is just such a classic DeSean Jackson line. 3 catches for 120 yards and a touchdown. I mean, could you get any more DeSean Jackson than that?
75-yard touchdown. That's what he does. I mean, do not bite on this. Let me just tell everybody. Don't bite on this. The first 2 games, 2 catches, 21 yards. So let's not get crazy here.
Yeah.
We had another great matchup in the AFC. We had Kansas City and the Chargers going head-to-head. This is Herbert Mahomes. It lived up to the hype as well. Herbert, he was the one who lit it up. I mean, he has looked incredible this year as well. 284 yards, 4 touchdown passes. Mahomes had 260 and 3 touchdowns, but he threw 2 costly interceptions. Mahomes got you some more yardage on the ground, 4 for 45. They both ended as top 10, maybe even top 5 quarterbacks
Mahomes,
this week.
I don't know if you heard the bulletin board material, but Mahomes had to eat some crow because I don't remember when this soundbite came out, but he was being interviewed about Justin Herbert, and he said, no, he's been playing real well. He's been so good. He was such a great as a rookie, and I think Mahomes said something around the lines of, I'll believe it when I see it. And I guess he saw it. I think he even said, like, well, I saw it first and foremost. So Herbert legit, man. He's coming out. Took it to Mahomes and
eat that crow. Good. Yeah, eat that crow. He did. He said, I guess I have to say I believe it now.
Yeah.
Just got lit up. Eckler, I think everyone who has Eckler wanted to see him more involved in the passing game. 6 for 52 and a touchdown. That was great. Only had 11 carries, and there were 6 carries split up between Roundtree and Jackson in the backfield. I don't love that. I don't know if that's I'm not sure what that is. Anytime there's a backfield like that, then it seems to be happening more and more this year in the NFL. Maybe it's preservation for the one more game of the season. Maybe it's, you know, not having much of a preseason, players not getting much action. But keep an eye on that. I mean, again, you still love the passing game involvement. That's kind of what he's known for anyway, so nothing too bad there. Mike Williams, Big Mike, continues to roll. This dude's looking great. 9 targets, 7 catches, 122 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's a monster. This is as good as we've seen him play in spurts, and he's doing it consistently now. That's a dangerous proposition.
That's the thing. You just said the word consistently. I mean, he's always had that top talent. He's a big receiver. He can make some plays, but he just has never been able to put back-to-back games together. And to kind of see him continue to be a little more consistent is good. And that's good for Herbert and the Chargers.
Yeah, he's looked a lot more consistent. They're not throwing him only deep balls. Like, they used to just be like 40-yard passes. Yeah, and so now there's new coaching staff in there. They've got him involved a little bit underneath, a little bit more out routes, back shoulder throws. He's become a very well-rounded receiver, which is great to see. CEH on the Kansas City side had that bounce back game you predicted.
I called that one. I was spreading the cheese on that guy.
You did spread the cheese. He had 17 carries for 100 yards on the ground, caught a touchdown pass, finally got in the end zone. That was good to see.
Yeah, finally actually showing what he can do. So that was really good. And even though they lost, hopefully they can, hopefully he can get some momentum on that game.
Yeah, we will see. And we'll cut back to him in a little while. Chiefs are 1-2. I mean, that's pretty wild. I'd say not to expect that losing streak to continue much longer, but they got Philadelphia and Buffalo their next two. Philly got lit up last night. I don't think they're much of a threat, but Buffalo rounding into form. I don't know. They could be 2-3 after five games. And I don't think anyone would have seen that coming.
That rematch of the AFC Championship. That should be a good game.
That will be. That will be, because Josh Allen
had five touchdowns.
He came to play. He's back. He's back. It took him a little minute to get going there. He's back. I don't know if you watched the Packers 49ers game. That was wild. It was trading blows back and forth. Very end of the game. Garoppolo charges down the field. They get a touchdown late. They're up. There's 37 seconds left.
37.
I don't know. The Packers were out of timeouts.
They were. That's the thing. No timeouts.
The only thing that worried you was like, normally you'd be like, don't give Aaron Rodgers more than 10 seconds to get down the field. But they had 37, but they had no timeouts. So I thought, well, you know what? He's still got some magic going with him. Devontae Adams, unguardable. He threw two passes over the middle to Adams.
Devontae Adams.
Like 20 yards down the field, and no one's guarding him. And they're probably like, that's the middle of the field. Don't guard it. I'm like, well, yeah, but he can still run up and spike the ball, which he did twice. And Mason Crosby hits a game winner as time expires. And it's like, you know what? Shame on you.
Hey, I know this isn't on the rundown, but can we also talk about the Ravens-Lions?
Absolutely.
Talk about that ending?
You mean the 66-yard field goal?
Can we talk about the play that happened before that 66-yard field goal? The Lions had the Ravens on 4th and 19. No timeouts with, 20-something seconds left? 4th and 19. And who? And then, of course, who do they throw it to? The bane to my fantasy football existence.
Sammy
Watkins gets 20-something yards. And then, of course, the rest is history. Justin Tucker nailing a 66-yarder in pure Detroit loss fashion, hits the crossbar and goes in.
Hits the crossbar and instead of bouncing back, goes forward.
Forward.
It's just the right side of the crossbar. I'm pretty sure that was like in like high school physics. I'm pretty sure we did a calculation of like where if he hit on the crossbar, would it actually propel forward and how much velocity and what angle would have to. Yeah, that's all
nerd.
That's all high school physics. I remember that. That was wild. I wasn't going to bring it up because of your Michigan following, but
yes.
Yeah, I know. Sore subject. Saw a lot of Twitter action about how the Lions got jobbed, and this is classic NFL against Detroit. And I mean,
yes,
there's some deep seated.
They missed the delay of game, but 4th and 19, people, like, don't let that happen, and you're okay.
Can't give it up, man. Can't give it up. The Las Vegas-Miami game ended up going into overtime. Vegas got down 14-0 to Jacoby Brissett and the Dolphins. And I don't know if they just came out flat or thought it was a trap game or, you know, I don't know what happened. It is Vegas. I mean, who knows?
It's Vegas.
Who knows what they were doing Saturday night? But they pulled it out. The Raiders pulled it out 3-0 now. Carr looks great.
Do you believe in Derek Carr?
I do believe in. Yeah, I do. I do, man. I think Derek Carr, I have a door and it has a photo of Derek Carr above it. And it's got a believe sign. I just slapped a believe sign right above him. Yeah. I'm thinking, I do believe. I think he looks great and he's going to have his tough matchups where he may struggle. But, you know, like we said earlier, Steelers and Ravens, he handled just fine. Interesting to see the Miami offense with Brissett under center. I think we're all curious to see if he would be the same as Tua or different. Mike Gesicki showed up finally and Jalen Waddle, both of them had over 10 catches. Both under 100 yards. little dump offs. I think I heard that Waddle had the least yardage for 11 plus catches in the history of the NFL.
Hey, so like, got to make the record book somehow.
Yeah. It was like 12 catches for 58 yards. It was insane. Justin Fields, woof. That was not good. I want to get to that game a little bit later, but man, the Bears got absolutely steamrolled by the Browns. And I mean, there's a lot of analysis.
Myles Garrett, or NFL record, 4.5 sacks. I mean, when you give up 9 total, yeah. And Justin Fields is a mobile guy.
Yeah. But,
I mean, I guess everyone was on Nagy that they never rolled him out. They just kept him in the pocket, which was just porous. And yikes, that's what happens.
There was a lot of bad in that, and send a fair amount of it on Justin Fields. I'm going to cop to my love of Justin Fields on that. A fair amount of it's on him, but it's not easy when Myles Garrett sets up a lawn chair in your backfield. Yep. Waits for you to back up. I mean, yeah. Now, to be fair, Myles Garrett did chase him down a few times too. So that guy's, he's Miles a freak.
Garrett's a beast.
He's a freak. Saquon was back. He looked great against the Falcons. Yeah. I mean, it was the Falcons. So that's your get right game.
Falcons but won. Oh man.
Falcons did win a game of football. That is also a highlight. But yeah, Saquon looked good. Again, I mentioned Najee Harris, 19 targets. Good grief. Jeez. 14 catches for 102. Claypool had 15 targets, 9 for 96. If either Juju or Deontay Johnson are back next week, I think you won't see much more of that. But if they're both out, there you go.
What is going on in Pittsburgh, man? Talk about how far they've dropped in 3 weeks. You know, week one, they look good, won their first game, and then yikes, they've just fallen off.
They looked great against Buffalo, and yeah, they kind of shut out that offense too. And yeah, they look
yikes. Ooh,
they look bad news. Maybe it's, you know, it's that pectoral muscle, a bends. That's what it is. It's a bruised pec he's got. So there's your highlights from around the league. We're going to move on to the cheese segment.
Cheese.
Spreading the cheese, folding the cheese, cutting the cheese. We need to get a drop or something for that, I think. All right. Here's your first one.
Yes,
I'll give it straight to you. A little bit of a softball. Clyde Edwards-Helaire got in the end zone, had 100 yards on the ground. How are you feeling today?
I already told you this. I'm spreading this cheese. You know, he started his first 2 weeks off. You can't get any worse than what he did. And he just has way too much talent. I know they lost again, but he has too much talent. The Chiefs are loaded. They just got freaking Josh Gordon off his annual suspension. And I just see him only going up. I'm spreading it. I'm spreading on Clyde.
I am still folding it. I know I said I wanted to see it, and I think we all expected it this week. I mean, the Chargers' run defense is not anything special. He's got to play Philly next week, who, again, Dallas lit him up, but normally Philly's been shutting down running backs. And he's got to play Buffalo. I think he's got two tough weeks ahead.
He does.
I'm not saying season long he won't get right, you know, but they're definitely making a point to get him turned around for sure. And they're trying to build his confidence. They're not giving anybody else carries, all that. I just don't know if he's special. I just don't know if he's like truly special. I think he's got great opportunity, which is good enough for a good fantasy running back. But
I mean, would you not have him as a RB3 or like a flex play? Like, would you not, if you're considering him low right now, would you not buy low? Like, what would you offer for him? If you were to go
buy
low
after, you can't buy low after this week, I don't think. I think you're right to say you bought low last week when people were doubting him. But I do think you'll have another opportunity to buy low in 2 weeks. And people are going to be like, was that Chargers game a fluke? You know, did he just kind of pop on a bad defense? Like, I don't know. I flex, yeah. I think any starting running back in the flex is probably pretty good, but he's not an RB1, and he's, for me, he's not an RB2. And I think people drafted him as an RB2.
Yes.
And some people who went, people who didn't draft a running back in the first two rounds may have drafted him as their RB1.
Okay, that's fair.
That's my concern. Another repeat on the list here.
Another repeat. So we got James Robinson, who had 88 yards and a touchdown, and he caught 6 balls for 46 yards. What do you think? You spreading the cheese, folding the cheese, or cutting the cheese on Mr. James Robinson?
I am upgrading to fold with a hint of spread on this one. I do feel better. Better usage. He did have 15 carries to Carlos Hyde's 8. But again, why is Carlos Hyde getting 8 carries?
I
mean, it's so annoying. You're trying to see a guy who had a great year last year get some momentum going. And some of these running backs are guys who need 15, 20 touches to really get going. And you're basically capping him at 15-ish, you know? In this game, thankfully, they gave him 21 total touches and he balled out. So I'm going to say I would spread it, but it's dependent on the play calling. It's dependent on what Urban Meyer does. If he won't give the guy the opportunities, you can't spread this. If he will, this is what you're going to get.
Yeah, I'm on with you. I'm folding the cheese. I'm not as confident as you are. With very close to spreading it. Jaguars have just looked terrible, and they're going to be playing from behind a lot of this season. So obviously his rushes, I mean, he's already getting split with Carlos Hyde a little bit. So you're not going to see the rushes. It was nice to see him get six receptions, and because Trevor's going to be passing a lot. But even Trevor looked bad. I mean, that flea flicker pick six, I know that was the play call, but as a QB, you got to see that. And you got to be a little smarter. Man. So
yeah, he's just chucking it.
You talk about a dumpster fire. The Jaguars are looking like that. But James Harmon does have talent, so I'm not cutting him. I'm folding the cheese on this one. Just I would like to see him put another game together.
I said this to a friend of mine who was texting me this morning about Jalen Hurts, and he said he thought last night he looked a little bit dejected and didn't have maybe that leadership quality you want to see if you're starting quarterback. I think the same goes for him as goes for Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. You got to be careful. These guys are winners. They've won at every level.
True.
And Trevor Lawrence had never lost a regular season game or something crazy like in
high school and college.
You know? And so you throw him into a game where he's scrambling for his life. Like, I don't know. You see how they respond. And hopefully he'll grow out of it and the team will get better around him. And
right. The
guy that you know he can be will show up. But you've also seen some quarterbacks come into the league and they never made it because they were either on junk teams or they got rattled early and they just weren't used to losing. And I think you're seeing some of that with Trevor.
Well, and you talk about Jalen Hurts, you know, I know he's in his second year, but he's technically still a rookie. He, had six or seven starts last season?
I think he had four last year, yeah.
If that, yeah. So, I mean, he is, for all intents and purposes, still a rookie. So, you know, he's right up in there with that category.
Yeah, yeah. I think you always got to watch that with these guys that come in. That's why I think Herbert does better. I mean, Oregon was a good team, but they weren't like an Alabama. You know, they had a few losses each year, and so he's been through some of that adversity at least. And so you don't see it as much. Josh Allen went to Wyoming. I mean, they were really good for Wyoming, but if they put anybody big, they were getting smoked, you know. So
it is interesting. You see that. I think you and I might need to do a little research project on this, but sometimes the quarterbacks that are taken in like the top five picks may not end up having the best careers just because they're obviously getting picked by the worst teams. So you're right. You look at Trevor Lawrence, never lost in high school, college, and now he has three straight losses to start his professional career. So they're not used to losing, you know. Justin Fields gets sacked 9 times. That's on the entire team. That's not just on him. So it would be interesting. I think we might need to look at this to see what picked quarterback and what, you know, what number pick they were had the most success. Because you look at a Mac Jones, I know the Patriots are only 1-2, but the Patriots have a much better all-around team. And I think he is more outfitted for success because of the team that is around him. And hell, he is the only rookie quarterback who has a win under his belt right now. So,
yeah, that's true. And I totally agree with what you're saying, too. Like, the earlier they go, the worse the situation they're typically in, right? So every now and then you end up with, like, they were only that bad because of major injuries or something where they actually are a decent team. But it's tough because you're talking the best pedigree and the best players are going to go early. Are they, like, they're definitely should be better long term. And in a lot of cases, you got people like Andrew Luck who kind of stood there while the team turned around. They made the right moves, and all of a sudden he made them like a playoff contender every year. There's plenty of examples of like first and second picks that do make it long haul, and they're just their talent wins out. But there's also a lot of Tim Couches out there, and
Ryan
there's a
Leafs.
Lot of Ryan Leafs out there. You know, people that just you never know what they could have been. You just never know because they just were in such a bad situation. So. That's a good point. Well, let's do that. Let's spend the rest of our day doing that.
Rest of the day. Research. Do it.
Rest of the day. Done. All right. I got one for you because this is a guy I was high on. I know you were high on him too, but like I've got him on my team. I played him against you this week. Jonathan Taylor, man, what is going on?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, again, the Colts are kind of – I feel like the Colts are being a little disappointed this year. They had high hopes coming in. I know they were kind of the hot team to rally behind and say, watch out for the Colts this year. And they're 0-3. And Jonathan Taylor, you know, he had a great week one. Well, good week one. He had 17.5 points, and then he's kind of just disappeared from there. But I'm spreading the cheese on him. He's got too much talent. The Colts are going to figure it out. You know, obviously there's a little uncertainty with Carson. He was hurt and hobbled a little bit. They're going to put it all together. And Jonathan Taylor, again, he had a great rookie year, showed so many flashes, and I just know he can put it all together. So I'm spreading the cheese on Jonathan Taylor. They started, if you look at the games they played in the first three, they're pretty tough matchups. And I think he can only go up from here. I mean, they had the Rams, they had the Seahawks who are not terrible, but, I'm spreading the cheese on Jonathan.
Yeah, I agree with you. I am worried. It annoys me how much Nyheim Hines is getting play. And I think he's a good player for sure, but I mean, we're talking like splitting backfield touches. 10 carries for Taylor against the Titans, and he was going 6.4 per carry. So the guy's running very effective. I was at that game. He looked great out there. Why do you only give a guy like that 10 carries? It's a close game until the very end. I mean, it was a one possession game the whole game until the very end. So why are you not just pounding the rock with him? You know, I don't understand. He's not getting as much passing game usage as I'd like to see. And I know Hines is more the passing down back. I get that. But Taylor can catch balls just fine. Mm-hmm. He did it last year. He can do it when he throws. It's not like he's got a case of the drops, or he's a huge back that's like Derrick Henry used to be, never catches a ball kind of thing. Why are you not throwing him the ball? He had one catch for 8 yards against the Titans. Hines has 5 for 54. You know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they're, again, it's like Eckler. Like, are they trying to preserve him? Is it load management? Is it something he's saying? Like, hey, I don't want to be in every down. I don't know what's going on.
Just take me out, coach. I'm good.
Take me out. I'm done. I don't know. I'm worried about it, but I have to say I'm spreading. He could be another good buy-low target. You know, people who are frustrated with him, he could be a great buy-low target.
I'll offer you Leonard Fournette for him if you want.
You know what? If you throw in a BLT for Mystery Sandwich Day, I'll consider it.
Samesies.
All right. I want you to tee me up on this next one.
Okay. Well, you got your rookie crush. You got your boy. We got him on the do it bet board. Justin Fields, my man. Are you spreading this cheese, folding this cheese, or cutting this cheese?
I'm definitely not cutting the cheese, although he was cutting the cheese the entire game against the Browns. That was check his trousers after that game. That was not good. So here's the deal. Here's my analysis for Justin Fields. 9 sacks. Okay, that's just awful. God awful. All right. They were in the backfield every play. I went back and watched the game and like kind of fast forwarded through whatever was able to see just their possessions. He was running for his life the entire game. I mean, the whole time he's just running for his life. Myles Garrett setting up shop in the backfield, chasing him down. He's long. He's fast. That's a freak coming after you all game. They've got a great defense anyway. There was no time to throw it. So when you don't have time in the pocket, then you don't need to guard receivers down the field. So you just keep all of your coverage short, shallow, 10, 12, 15 yards, because a route can't develop long enough for someone to get past 10, 15 yards. And so then you see these throws are all 8 to 10 yard throws, and they're double covered because a linebacker kind of drops into his own coverage and the corner's covering the guy. And there's nowhere to throw it. Like, there's no deep threat there because they can't protect him long enough for him to even throw the ball more than 30, 40 yards. The guy can't run that far in that short amount of time. So
you're folding? You're spreading?
I'm spreading. I'm wow. spreading. Wow. I am fine. I got it. Now, he's got Detroit this week, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Stop hating on Detroit. Look what they did. They held the Ravens in check. We won't go into the last play. And then, you know, they played well against the Packers in the first half. Anyway, I'll get off the Detroit.
I don't think Detroit's terrible. I'm rooting for them, and you're right. It's not
kneecaps, man. They're biting kneecaps.
It is not a cakewalk. I'm not saying it's a cakewalk for him. If he gets to start again, which they're being real weird about, we got 3 quarterbacks we're thinking about. Nick Foles is still here. I'm just like, shut up, dude. Let the guy play in a game where he has a chance, you know? And I'm not saying there's no disrespect to Detroit, but they're not Cleveland. They don't have a Myles Garrett. They don't have that, okay? And so, yeah, let me see him against a team that's not salivating to just absolutely devour the guy. And maybe he's lying. Like, get a better game plan together. Get him some more design runs. Like, you know, ran the ball like 3 times or something crazy. You know, like, I don't know. It's hard to complete passes when they're double covering all your people and they're double covering them short because you don't have time to throw the ball. That is not his fault. All right. Now, taking some of the sacks he took were his fault. He forced every throw. Because, again, the windows were so small, he had to force every throw. So, yeah, it didn't look great. And stats don't look good, and the eye test didn't look good.
I'm gonna keep this short and simple. I am cutting the cheese on Justin Fields. I've told you all year, I do not like the Bears' offense. I do not like Coach Nagy. I think there was even I was watching some replays of the Bears game, and someone had zoomed in on Nick Foles on the sideline, and he just saw his mouth, so they started reading his lips, and it said, offense is just not working. So that's always a good sign when you see one of your play callers just saying that. Fields obviously was on his back half the game. I've never been high on Fields. I didn't like him coming out. He locks into his receivers a lot, and when then you don't have time, you're not going to be finding anybody. So Bears are looking terrible offensively. I'm cutting Justin Fields. You're out.
Yeah, I agree. He locks into receivers. He didn't have time to make any reads. He can't progress from his first receiver to his second, much less his third or fourth, mm-hmm. or a dump off. Like, so I totally agree. He did. He locked in. As soon as he got the ball, he threw it right at that guy who's already covered because Myles Garrett's sitting on his face. I mean, I understand that. I'm not out on the player. I'm definitely folding the system for sure. I agree with you there. But you can't cut him. Come on.
Cut him.
Whatever. All right. How about Cordero Patterson? Let's get an update on him. Another good week. Seven for 20 on the ground. He got 7 carries again. 6 for 82 in the receiving game. Another strong showing.
I mean, I think I folded on him last week.
Shoot. I think you cut him last week.
Did I cut him last week?
Oh, you cut him last week.
I think you're right. I did. So you know what? I'll eat my words. He's definitely upgraded to folding slash shoot. I think I might have to spread it. I will eat my words. He has shown me up. I apologize, Cordarrelle. Let's just keep it going. Let's spread the cheese on him.
Let's just spread that cheese. Yeah, I agree. I think he's the thing. I think he's legitimate flex. He's getting enough carries to be relevant as a runner, but more importantly, he's getting a ton of receptions. Yeah. And they're going to be in tight games or down most of the season. And I think he's a lot more explosive than Mike Davis. So yeah, I think he's legit flex all year at this rate, at least.
All right. And our last cutting, folding, or spreading the cheese. Kemp, you saw this guy live and in person, your man, Julio Jones. What are you feeling about him?
And there's a weird vibe going on around here with Julio. I don't know what it is. Someone's talking about, there's buzz about maybe he's in the doghouse because he wasn't blocking well. He had that bad first week. AJ's struggling, so they need a number one. You think Julio's going to step up, and in week two, he looked great. He's tearing it up, right? But he was dropping balls in week one, and he had a bad penalty, which Vrabel does not like, especially from a wide receiver. You don't want to see any penalties out wide like that. Great in week two, and then he left the game. The guy in front of us in the stands, who's like a season ticket holder, was like, oh, I heard it's an ankle issue. I haven't read anything about that since. But I'll just tell you, I kept looking out in the fourth quarter. I'm like, who are these receivers? AJ Brown's on the sideline with a hamstring issue. At least Julio was in there. Nope, Julio's out. There's just a bunch of these little short guys out there. I'm like, we have two giant thoroughbreds, you know, that are supposed to be catching balls for us. And we've got Westbrook Akina out here and Chester Rogers. And, you know, that's the only two I know. Yeah. I don't even know who the third guy was. So I don't know what happened, man. It's a little weird. I don't love it. I guess I'm going to say folding the cheese. I would love to spread it because it's my Titans, but I don't know, inconsistent, and there's something weird vibe going on.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. I'm definitely folding the cheese on this one. Definitely not cutting, for sure. He's too good to do that, but, you know, is he still nursing that injury from Atlanta? We don't know. We're talking about this tender ankle. Again, we haven't read anything about it, but he's still got to find his way in Tennessee. You know, I'm sure a little bit of his, he still thinks he's that alpha guy. He should be that number one. He's obviously got a great talent with him and AJ Brown, although who hasn't been performing for me lately. Anyway, but he's too good. But you're right. If you get in that doghouse with that coach, I mean, as we talked about Vrabel last week, he's a different character. If you get in his doghouse, it doesn't matter who you are, he will make it sure it's known. And he obviously didn't like that penalty week one. A great week two, rebounded, but week three, you know, we don't know why, and that's what's scary. We don't know what happened. So I definitely cannot spread it on this one, but I'll fold it in the sense that I still got to see what he's going to do.
Yeah, here's hoping it gets right. He and AJ both, because we're really excited about having those two together, for sure. All right, E, this week we've got two listener questions.
Two? Look at that. We're just doubling our questions. I love it.
I'm stoked about this. So I got one that sent in as a text, and then you got one. I did. We got a call-in, a legit call-in.
Yes.
So I'm stoked about this. Let me hit this text one first.
Yep.
And I'll make it pretty quick, because I thought this was an interesting question. My boy Ricky, who's in our league, our Yahoo league, he sent me a text and said, hey, I want to hear a crazy waiver wire story. Did you ever do anything for waivers outside of the norm? And at first I was thinking, like, what can you do, you know, for waivers? Like, what do you mean? What would I do differently? And then I started thinking, I was like, okay, well, maybe he's talking about this. So I've set alarms in the past for, you know, getting up at 3 a.m. when waivers process, just to either check who I've got. Maybe I want to not use a waiver claim and I want to grab a free agent first thing, you know, like as soon as I can, as soon as the waivers have cleared. I've definitely set alarms, and I was pre-children.
I was going to say, was this pre-wife, pre-children, or is this during
pre-children, I will say.
You're
I can't
up
say
with your kids, rocking them to sleep. You got your phone in the other hand. Oh, yep.
All right. So that's the other thing is when you've got young kids, you're up at all hours of the night anyway.
This is very true.
So number one, you can check your waivers because you're up changing a diaper and feeding at some point, you know, or just moral support for your wife who's doing both those things. Whatever it is, you're up. You're not sleeping. All right. Ricky happens to have one of those. He's got a little baby. Shout out to Ricky.
Hey, baby boy. All right, Ricky.
That's right. Congrats on the new dad. So he's up at 2 a.m. anyway. So he's probably checking his waivers. You got to watch his moves in the league, by the way. So those 2 a.m. feedings, 3 a.m. feedings, great time to check waivers. Great time to catch up. I watched a whole couple seasons of Homeland, I remember, when we had one of ours. It's a great time to watch TV, get caught up on your shows as well.
Homeland. So, don't think I ever saw Homeland. Would you recommend?
Oh my gosh. Homeland was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Who's the actress? Is that Claire Danes?
Claire Danes. Wow. Yep. And Mandy Patinkin.
Really?
Yeah. Mandy. He's one of the main guys as well. Okay. So it was a great show. Very good.
Gotta check that out.
Highly recommend. Highly recommend. The other thing I would say about waivers, I did kind of interesting one year, was one time I offered a guy a trade for a player I currently had in order to get his waiver pick. So he was like first in line at waivers. Yeah. He was first in line at waivers. And I said, I know you've been eyeing this guy on my team. And it was like a flex type player. It was like a good player, but not like my star, right? There was somebody, I don't remember. I wish I could remember.
I was going to say, do you remember who the player you wanted off waivers was?
No, I can't remember. I just remember saying, like, I will give you, let's call it, you know, this year it'd be like James Conner. I'll give you James Conner.
Sure.
Or I don't know, Tony Pollard. Be like somebody you could actually start in your flex. I'll give you Tony Pollard if you will pick up a player for me on your number one waiver spot and trade me immediately. And he's like, okay, let me check out who's available and see if I would want to use it myself.
Sure.
Didn't see anybody he wanted. I really needed somebody off of waivers. And it was either like a backup. Like my guy got hurt and I needed his backup.
I hope it was like Denard Robinson, who had like 3 good weeks for the Jags.
Shoelace. It was Shoelace. Yeah, it was definitely Shoelace. It was, I don't remember who it was, but it was like a backup running back that I needed a handcuff, or it was like a quarterback and my guy had gotten hurt and there was nobody, like, I don't know, something like that. Anyway, traded a pick for a waiver pickup as well, which I thought was creative at least.
Yeah, it's worth doing. Although if you think about it, that kind of hurts him twofold. Well, not twofold, because then he loses his waivers priority for your play.
He loses his waiver priority. So I think it was late in the year to the point where so that wasn't that as big much. Of a deal. Sure. But yeah, that I definitely wouldn't recommend doing that early in the season.
don't do this.
Yeah, you're going to drop down to like the 10th position and you're not going to get back until like week 15, you know. So there you go. There you go, Ricky. All right, I'm trying to give away some of the. I'm tired of giving Ricky all my tricks of the trade. He's starting to use them against me. So,
and so
it's the last one you get.
Apprentice
last freebie.
Has become the master.
Yeah, that's the last freebie you get, Ricky.
Nice. All right, Rick. Well, our second one is actually a call-in. Got a message from actually a kid in my neighborhood, which I appreciate you listening. Thanks to the Hill family for listening out on the podcast. So
love
she
that.
Had an interesting call about one free agent running back who was actually not a free agent running back in her league. So let's just take a listen to see what she has to say.
Hey guys, I have a question for you. I drafted Chuba Hubbard because I thought his name sounded pretty funny, but now everybody wants him. I don't know what a good trade would be. Someone offered me Chase Claypool. Should I take it? I was thinking about offering Chuba Hubbard and Logan Thomas in exchange for TJ Hawkinson. What do you think?
Wow, that is quite... Who would have thought that someone would actually draft Chuba Hubbard? I mean, he does have a great name, so well played, Joe, for drafting him. But I bet she did not expect this activity to be getting all these trade offers thrown at her. So
it's a veteran move, Joe. That was a great move, Joe.
Well done. So, Kemp, what do you think? What do you think of the trade that she proposed? Or do you like the Chase Claypool? Claypool had a great week, but what do you think about what she was saying?
Claypool did have a great week. He is going to be a little scary all year long because you're going to get some of these weeks, especially if they're injuries. He's inconsistent, though. It's the one thing that bothers me. And maybe that's the kind of player you need to target for someone like Chuba. You know, it's like a high upside, but a little inconsistent. I think you could potentially look in that Michael Pittman, Corey Davis, Rondale Moore range as well. They're all kind of in that same boat with Chase Claypool. They're all highly capable, kind of coming off some duds, though, on the opposite end. You know, Claypool, he may be too high a value right now. Someone might think this is a real Chase Claypool and they don't want to trade him. I really like the Hawkinson deal.
I thought that was very smart. Deal. Yeah.
Very smart. And I think you might get interest this week too, because Hawkinson kind of laid an egg. and Logan Thomas caught a touchdown. And so then someone's thinking like, hey, Thomas is a great tight end too, which he is. He's a really good tight end anyway. He's not Hockenson season long. And so that would be a real upgrade. There may be some other flex running backs like Michael Carter, James Conner, people who've got upside season long but haven't yet taken over the backfield, that if you want to give up short-term starter for long-term potential, could also be worth considering.
Well, and that's the thing too. Now is definitely the time to be selling, just because, let's be honest, if McCaffrey's going to be back in 2-3 weeks, that means Chuba has a window of about 2-3 weeks. So we would talk about upgrading. Definitely Hockenson is an upgrade at tight end. You got to look at your running back situation. So if you're pretty set at running backs, you don't need Chuba in these next couple weeks, definitely train him for that upgrade, because, you know, long term, Chuba's not really going to help you. Great name. Love the fact that you love him for his name, but
great name.
Probably not going to help you in the overall standings for playing wise after about 3 weeks. So, yeah, Kemp and I were liking that Hockenson trade if you want to get your hometown Lion. But great question. Great situation. Well done.
Great question, Joe. Here's the last thing I'll say to Joe as well, and not to muddy the waters, but I do have one more thing I would want to add, because I've done this before. You may – listen, fantasy is a weekly game. You have to win each week, all right? And if Chuba Hubbard in your lineup gives you an advantage enough that you could win these next 2 weeks, two wins are substantial. And so there's a world where you just keep Chuba and play him, even though you had a window there, as you mentioned, to upgrade talent on your roster, potentially season long. Again, injuries happen. What if Hockenson breaks his leg halfway through? God forbid. All right. Breaks his leg halfway through the season.
Yeah, you don't
know anything until it happens, right? And so I have played seasons before where I have not capitalized on a couple week window of someone having an opportunity, and I've just played them and I've won those weeks, and maybe there's another window of opportunity with somebody else later in the season. And maybe this McCaffrey thing lingers. I had Mike Davis last year and McCaffrey just kept not coming back, and I just kept rolling out Davis, and I got 6 to 8 to 10 weeks out of the guy and eventually won my league because I just kept playing with it. And people were offering me trades the whole time. Like, I got McCaffrey, give me Davis. So I feel kind of like, you know what? He's working out for me, and I don't know when he's coming back. I don't know when McCaffrey's coming back. It just worked. So you don't have to trade him. I will say that.
True.
I do like the Hockenson deal, but you don't have to trade him because he could help you win the next week or two.
Thanks for muddying the waters, Kemp. Very helpful.
Just saying.
But hey, if you do keep Chuba, you must change your team name to something with his in there. So that's the only requirement that we have of you if you keep Chuba. So
Chumbawamba, Chewbacca. There's a lot of options out there.
The options are endless. So again, Joe, thanks for the question. Keep listening.
Great question, Joe. Appreciate that. Also want to give a shout out while we're giving shout outs. Found out my cousin Wyatt Pierce is also listening to Folding the Cheese. Shout out to Wyatt.
All right, Wyatt.
He's a high schooler, just got his driver's permit in Winston-Salem.
Hey, so, all right.
That's right. Our kind of man.
Old stomping grounds.
Big shout out to Wyatt.
Hey, let's give it, while we're talking about shout outs in Winston-Salem, how about them Demon Deacons?
You mean the ranked 4-0 ranked above Demon Deacons?
Clemson?
In the AP poll, number 24, above Clemson.
Those Demon Deacons. Watch out for them.
Steamrolling people. Look out, Louisville's coming to town. All right, let's move on to the waiver wire this week. We can buzz through these pretty quick. It's a little bit grim, as is often the case, but there's a couple quarterbacks on there that I want to mention again. They're still floating around in a bunch of leagues. Another great week for Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr. Both strong plays. At this point, I think you've got to say, I believe it. And
I believe in Derek Carr.
They belong in lineups, you know, or at least in your bench. And if you've got a quarterback who's struggling or isn't quite performing like you thought he would, he's got to get it done. So we're going to be getting into bye weeks in the next couple of weeks. You don't want to leave them out there for free agency because someone's going to use them against you. It's going to hurt you. True. Sam Darnold, another good, strong week from him as well.
Very capable.
He's got a Dallas matchup this week. Regardless of how they looked last night, they've been a soft defense. And he's getting the job done. He's got a lot of weapons around him too. So keep him in mind, he's going to have to throw a little bit more with McCaffrey out of the lineup. I think he'll be just fine. Running backs, we talked about Chuba. Obviously, he's going to be the hot pickup this week on the waiver wire. We're not sure how long McCaffrey's going to be out. Again, they're making a point to not put him on IR, so you think it's maybe only going to be a week or two, but it could linger, could be a little bit longer. Maybe they just don't want to put that limit on McCaffrey. I think Chuba's going to be the lead back. I think Royce Freeman is going to get in there some, just enough to be annoying, but Chuba struggled a little bit early on, but looked great in the second half. I think he's their guy. He's going to be the guy, and he should be able to handle the workload.
In Minnesota, it pains me to say it, but we're looking at Alexander Mattinson. Kemper did this to me this week. I have Dalvin Cook. So that was awesome. So he picked up Alexander Mattinson, and Mattinson got him, 20-something points?
Is that what it was? 25, yeah. Sure
did. Dalvin is injury prone. This is managerial faux pas on my part for not having his handcuffs. So that was definitely on me. So with his health history, Mattinson's a good pickup. He obviously played well in his first week of starting. And if Dalvin's going to be gone for a couple weeks, he's a great fill-in and can show that he's going to put points up. So definitely grab him if he is still on the waivers.
And this is a good point back for Joe here. If you're playing against the Christian McCaffrey owner this week, Joe, you keep Chuba Hubbard and just make sure you plug him in against that person. Because it's so fun whenever you've got the other person's backup.
So much fun. Great.
Just to remind them, you should have had this person. Shame on you.
So you're telling me I should play Tony Pollard against Zeke?
If Zeke is injured, yeah.
What about if he's healthy?
If he's healthy, they're both going to play well. How about Cordero Patterson? Still sitting around in a bunch of leagues. We talked about him before. We're spreading that cheese. Go get him. Put him in your flex. At least leave him on the bench. Don't let somebody else grab him, because somebody else who's struggling at running back is going to pick him up, and you're going to be mad he didn't do it. And then I think Peyton Barber, this kind of came out of nowhere. Some people called this. You thought Kenyon Drake was going to get a lot of the work with Josh Jacobs out. I think Barber is the actual handcuff to Jacobs from a running perspective. I think they want to keep Drake in that third down role and maybe like an every three or four series lead back role. I don't think they're going to change it as long as they have Peyton Barber, and he ran really well.
He did. He looked good.
Yeah, I think he's someone to keep in mind. If you own Josh Jacobs and Peyton Barber's available, you probably need to go out and get him, and that's your handcuff.
So,
just so you know.
If you were a Drake owner, would you drop him for Barber?
No, because I think once Jacobs is back, Barber has no role.
Okay.
So if you had Drake, you're going to get the same production, I think, whether Jacobs is in there or not.
Sure.
I guess more what I'm saying is if you have Jacobs and you won't be able to use him if he's injured, then you pick up Barber. And if you're a Drake owner and if Jacobs is not available for a game, then yeah, Barber is going to be a starter again. So sure, any owner should consider him.
All right.
Tell us some wide receivers, E.
For wide receivers, we're looking in Arizona. Christian Kirk, you know, he's always kind of one of those enigmas. I had him on and off my team last year. He's a guy who can explode. He's also kind of, he can have huge weeks where he might get three catches for 110 yards, or he might have one catch for five. But he's been pretty consistent overall in his three games this year. He's been over 60 yards. You know, there's a lot to feed in Arizona, a lot of ways the ball can go with DeAndre Hopkins. You got him, you got AJ Green, and obviously the two running backs, but you know, he's put it together over these past three games. Hopkins is limping a little bit again, my guy, but if he's available, he's definitely worth a look.
How about AJ Green blowing up too? Like back from the dead. He is
toothpick legs. Talking about old Brady boy.
Your boy Brady. Yeah. Toothpick legs out there still over 100 yards. Yep. I mean, who knew he had it in him? How about Emmanuel Sanders with 6+ targets in each game this season? Josh Allen is back now. And Emmanuel, yes, I think, is his number two. Beasley and Allen have got a great connection. And we've talked about him preseason. He's going to get a lot of catches. And some weeks that's going to be 10 for 98 or whatever he had this week, which is money in the bank. But I think Sanders got more touchdown potential. Mm-hmm. And Sanders also has that high catch, high yardage combination potential as well. So I like him. And in that Cole Beasley vein as well, you've got Hunter Renfrow in Las Vegas. He's a great slot receiver. He is catching a lot of balls, 6+ targets in every game, 57 yards or more in every game, 10 points or more in every game. So for another high volume guy, you want to pop someone in your flex on bye weeks or whatever, keep an eye on Hunter Renfrow. He caught a touchdown this week too. Looked pretty good. All right, tight ends. Dalton Schultz, monster game last night. He's had two good games now and one junk one. But he had 6 for 80 and 2 touchdowns last night. Looked really good. Blake Jarwin only got 2 targets, two catches for 14 yards.
Where has Blake Jarwin gone? What is happening?
So he got hurt last year and Schultz took over and I think developed some chemistry, although Prescott got hurt too. Schultz kind of solidified himself as potentially like the guy, and you thought you might see both of them this year, and really it's been mostly Schultz. He had one dud of a week again. He had 2 targets in that second week. But first week, third week, he's looking really good. He's coming off of a really strong Monday night performance. I think he's probably the guy going forward. All right, I got another name that it's actually kind of a fun name. Tommy Tremble. He's down in Carolina. He's a rookie out of Notre Dame. He caught one pass. It's a big play, 30 yards. He looked really athletic on that play. And the reason I'm mentioning him is they just traded away Dan Arnold, which was their starting tight end, traded him to the Jaguars, picked up a defensive back with a J.C. Horn injury in Carolina. They still got Ian Thomas, who was kind of a flashy name, I don't know, a couple years ago probably. He's not a threat in the passing game this year. He's only got two catches for 24 yards. Tommy Trimble could be someone. It's maybe more like a high upside flyer type. But if, you know, tight end's a total wasteland this year, if you want to take a shot on somebody, Tommy Trimble could be the guy. I think he's probably one that you won't have to use a waiver claim on, but could use free agent pickup. Set that alarm for 3 a.m. as soon as waivers process, jump in there and get Tommy Trimble.
Can we just take a quick timeout for great names watching the Eagles Cowboys game? How great of a name is Brian Anger for a punter?
That is a great name.
I was just watching, like, wow, I was trying to read the back of his jersey, like, is it really Anger?
especially for a punter.
Oh yeah, he punted that ball with anger. It's like, oh wait, no, that's his name. I loved it.
I'm gonna kick the shit out of this ball.
Camp, I feel like you need an anger jersey, like just on the back. You just have anger.
When that's Kemper, actually
Kemper the Temper really comes out, come on, you get that's that actually, anger jersey right now.
That's really fair, actually. My wife would probably pull it out of the closet and be like, "Do you need to wear the jersey right now?"
Anger jersey.
Yeah, my kids would start trolling me probably. There was a great place kicker whose last name was Blewett. He was like, I was like, man, what a bad name for a kicker. What a
terrible
name.
Oh.
Every time he missed a field goal. There you go. Thank you, parents. All right. Dawson Knox, another name I'm going to mention. He was in our preseason rankings. He's in Buffalo. Good tight end. He's got 8+ points each week so far this season. Doesn't sound like a lot, but in tight end world, that's about as consistent and solid as you're going to get.
Cam, can we just be honest? Should we just do not waste a waiver on a tight end unless – am I right here, Cam? We don't want to waste our waiver priority here. But these are
good
to look at. They're good for pickups. But honestly, don't waste your waiver priority on these.
Dalton Schultz is the only one I would consider. And yeah, it's probably if you've got like a late waiver and you're not going to take the number one waiver pick and take him. I would consider Dalton Schultz. Like, I've got freaking Bob Tonyan in Green Bay who has got two total duds in one good game. And I'm like, I don't know what to do about tight end, you know? So I'm probably going to have to pick up one of these guys and think about starting him next week against Robert Tonyan. It's awful. Tight ends are just awful. This is the next position to go in our Yahoo League. Just FYI. Wow. It's going to become a quarterback, running back, receiver league only. I'm over tight ends. They are such garbage. Whatever.
Oh, looks like that's the time, Kemp. We got to go.
Oh, you must have missed. Yeah, I think you missed this note in here. There's one more thing we got to mention real quick. We got to recap Rivalry Week. Why don't you start us off? How did that go this week? You and I were playing each other in the Yahoo League.
You know, it looked great coming into the week. Felt good. Felt solid. Then as the week continued and injury news came out, I felt less and less solid. And I saw you pick up, so I was like, I felt less and less solid. But let's be honest, for both of us, it was a bad week. You and I both just had terrible weeks looking at our team from top to bottom. Tom Brady was the only player on my team who did something. He had, I kid you not, 40% of my team's points. And that says something when I scored 90 points total.
That is not good. I think that's not good.
AJ Brown got me 0.3 points. Fun times. DeAndre Hopkins got me 5. I mean, anyway. Kemp got
me.
It was not good for anybody.
I completely agree. It was bad for everybody.
I feel like it was a bloodbath of a fantasy week, but unless you're a Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford owner. But anyway, I got to admit, when credit is due, Kemp got me. He got me our first rivalry week. So
we got another one, though. Not to worry.
I kept my redemption song. So well played, sir. Good job to your digital squad.
Thank you. They play with a lot of heart out there. Those little guys, I got to give them all the credit. They got heart.
They believe.
They hit the sign every time. One more thing. Sonya Troll, my mom, crushing it. She beat Lucky this week.
Better record than all of us.
She's 3-0. She's crushing it. She got a big Monday night from Zeke last night. Cooper Kupp, obviously, destroying people. She is cruising right now. 3-0. So big shout out to her as well.
Hey, Cam, I just got one quick question for you. Do you believe in ghosts?
You know what? I do believe in ghosts. But more importantly, I believe that ghosts should believe in more in themselves.
And on that note, as always, folks, keep folding the cheese.
Fold it.